Okay, we're doing Tashman Al Halacha Yudayim. Adaf She'orchan Alav Kolasana, the board that you knead dough on and you work on the whole year. V'chein Areva Shalashim Ba, and the kneading bowl that you mix the batters in. Tzrichan Hagola, you have to do Hagola for it. We're not going to explain why it's in a later Halacha Chafei, so we're going to just leave that. Now, why is it Hagola? It's cold. You didn't need the dough when it's cold. Why should you need Hagola? Leave that for Chafei.
Well, what was the Matzias? Why would he even need, what was the Matzias?
You just needed dough in it.
And then I want to use the bowl for what?
For Pesach.
Okay.
So why does it need Hagola? The question is, why does it need Hagola? You should just need to just rinse it out. So that's Halacha Chafei. We're not going to talk about that now. I'm just going to leave that.
Okay.
This doesn't help to scrape off a layer, meaning, because it's going to say in a second there's a question of the end being stuffed. So for the end, you could just scrape off a layer. You know, this is not, scraping off a layer is not going to help here. And the shayla here is not the end. This is the problem of bleas over here. Okay? Anything that needs klipa, anything that needs hagola, you can't just scrape off a layer. That doesn't get enough. There's no deep enough in it. Okay. The Nur Muslims. The Haminik Shalor Gishtamish Bepesach by Ravis, the Daphin Shalor Shalor and Koloshana. The minig is to not use these kind of boards and kneading bowls. You don't use them at all. I feel like they go, even if you did Hagolah, that's the reason why, and that's correct. And the reason is because the Mishnah says these things, our bowls have a lot of cracks and little holes in it. There's no way you're going to get these things clean. So therefore, the minig is, even with Hagolah, you don't use it. Okay, and then the Ramah ends up, Ukvar Nisbar Le'el Simen Tafman Beis Sif Yudav. And I already explained this in Tafman Beis Sif Yudav. Okay, and that's what I want to talk about. That's in Tufman Beis Yudal, because it's not really Ogden, because over there it says much more than it says over here. Here it just says, you have to kash them with Hagola, and the minute is not even use even if you kash them. That's what it says over here. The Tufman Beis says a different thing.
What about if I would take a dish and burn it out? Is it Metzius, you can't do it?
So you're saying the Ramah thing, you're choshes that there's the end left in this thing.
Yeah.
Like maybe if you use the fire, so you really got rid of all the end in it. Okay, so maybe that would be good enough. Okay, so what does it say in Tafsim Beis? We're going to step back for a second. The Gemara says that to be over on Baal Yerah, you have to have a Kazayas of Chams. Okay, however much size that is, a Kazayas of Chams. And there's a big shaila in Achronim. What is the din of Chatz Yishu Asim and Atera? Does it apply to Baal Yerah, or does it not apply? And you're not allowed to eat even a small piece of this. So what about Baal Yerah? Should it be Chatz Yishu Asim and Atera on that also? So on the one hand, the Gemara says that the reason for Chatz Yishu Asim and Atera is because maybe you'll eat another piece afterwards. If I ate a small piece, maybe I'll eat another piece. In Baal Yerah, that doesn't make any sense. Because in Baal Yerah, if I own one piece now, you think maybe I'll own another piece? Well, it's not going to help if I own another piece. But on the other hand, the others hold that the Gemara compares the Isra of Baal Yerah to the Isra of eating chametz. In eating chametz is surely Chatz Yishu Asim Atera. So maybe there should also be, by Baal Yerah, there should be Chatz Yishu Asim Atera. That's a machlokes. So what is it? There are some, the Truma Sadeshim and some Achronim hold, it's completely no Isra of Baal Yerah. If you have something that's less than the Kazayas, it's absolutely mutter. There's zero Isra at all. So many of the Achronim hold that it's an Isra Drabonim. It's not Chatz Yishu Asim Atera, but it's an Isra Drabonim because you might come to eat it. And most...
You don't have to be Mevatel again? If I walk in the house, I see a Chatz Yishu...
So according to the Truma Sadeshim, absolutely nothing. You can leave it on your table. That's the truth. But many Achronim hold that it's Asim Drabonim.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch, maybe most even, hold that it's even Asim and Atera. The Chatz Yishu Asim and Atera applies even to Baal Yerah. Okay. Now, so I have a question for you. If you say Chatz Yishu Asim and Atera on Chametz, so then how come every tiny crumb that I have in my house of Chametz, I don't have to get rid of? It's a Chatz Yishu.
Yeah.
It's not because I... So why don't I say every single... So is that what I have to do? Do I have to find every single crumb in my house? Does that mean... I mean, does the Gemara say no? Like that. So what's going on? If Chatz Yishu is Asim and Atera, why don't I have to get rid of every crumb? So for that, the answer is like this. Min HaTorah, there's two ways to get rid of your chametz. You could either do bittul, or you could do beer. You could destroy it. And Min HaTorah, either of them works. If you could just say, on Erev Pesach, I'm about to all my chametz, Min HaTorah, perfect. You don't have to do any cleaning. Leave all your chametz over the place. The Chacham said, you have to do both. Chacham said, you can't do one. You can't get rid of your chametz and not do bittul. And you can't do bittul and not do beer. You have to do both. So on here, the Chacham made an exception. When you have chametz, which is so small that it's less than a kazayis, and it's something that's dirty or something that nobody would want to eat, okay, something like a crumb, it's something so small that nobody would ever want to eat that thing. So then we say, since it's inherently fatal, I mean, it has no, it's not like a pretzel. If I had a little pretzel, someone might come to eat it, and the rabbanon, you have to get rid of it and do bittul. But if it's so small that no one would eat it, like a rolled up cookie that's under my bed, and it's less than a kazayin, then I don't have to. Then I could do either one. I could do bittul or bira. I could just do bittul. And but if the piece is bigger than a kazayin, then Rashi says it has a certain chashivas to it, and bittul alone is not going to do the trick. Okay. So therefore, if I have a tiny bit of chametz, so even though we would say chatish asur min atayra, it really would be asur. Min adin, it would be asur. But this din, the special din of Rabbanan that I have to do bittul and beer for everything, that I don't have to do for that. Therefore, it's enough as a bittul. So after I got rid of anything that's bigger than a kazayin, so anything that's reasonable, someone might eat, it's a chash, somebody might eat if they find it. So then, I finish the bittul on the rest of the things. Okay, so actually, when I tell my kids to do the biggest chametz, what are you looking for? You look for things that are either a kazayin, or if you find a whole jelly bean, that if they would find it under the bed, they would eat it. That's yimukhuri, even though it's less than kazayis, yimukhuri to get rid of it. But anything dirty, or anything, or bigger than a kazayis, then yimukhuri to get rid of it. Okay. As an aside, there are two shitas that are not generally accepted. Okay. One is a chayy adam who says that the rabbanon, you have to get rid of these things, like an extra din rabbanon, to get rid of these things that are pachas me kazayis, that are no one will eat, which is not accepted. And there's a chazanish who says, no, you don't have to get rid of it. But there's another thing that says that if you have chametz in your house, that's not even yours. A guy has chametz in your house, there's a din, you have to put a wall around it. So the Chazanish says that's a din, that anytime there's chametz around, that even if you're allowed to keep it, there's a din, a special din, you have to put up a wall around it. So he says these crumbs, you have to put a wall around it also. So you have to put a wall around your svarim, because there might be a crumb of chametz in it. That's also generally not accepted like that. Okay.
He put a wall around the svarim.
So they put a sheet around it, because in case places where you can't get the crumbs, I told you it's not generally accepted. Okay. Most people say the Gemara says that you don't have to get rid of it. You could just do bittul alone. That's good enough. And most people hold that means it's completely mutter. Okay.
I just can't see the Chazon Ish going against the Pesach on the svarim.
No, so they have special Pesach svarim. Okay, Pesach svarim. Okay. So now, and I'll throw one last thing in this inyan. This is where the din says Yisrael Kadoshim, that people have a special chumra lePesach that they try to get rid of even these tiny bits that you don't have to. I mean, these things that are less than a kazayis and are not something that somebody would want to eat if they would find it. If Yisrael Kadoshim, it's a milah to get rid of it, but you're not mechuyav to get rid of it. Okay, okay. So before we get back to the din we were doing, there's two pratim in this din. And I told you that it has to be more than a kazayis, that if it's more than a kazayis, then it doesn't make a difference, even if nobody would want to eat it, you have to get rid of it. There's two important problems of this thing. One is, any food that's in one kli is mitzvah. When we say the shir is a kazayis, that means this: if I have a bottle of medicine, okay, of chewable pills, okay, let's say tums, okay, they're not, let's say there will be chametz in them. Even though each one of the tums is not a kazayis, but if in the entire container there's a kazayis worth of chametz, then I'd be mechuyav to get rid of it. We say the Gemara says they're all mitzaref, and those, that's considered, you do have a kazayis. I have 50, you know, pieces, 50 pills in there, that would be considered a kazayis, and you'd be mechuyav to get rid of it. So that means is. Remember, we're talking about chametz that's not really so desirable to eat in b'chutz kevudah. So that means that in the din, Shulchan Aruch says, that's the din tafna base. If you have a bowl that you do mixing in, or you have a basket for bread, or a container for flour, so the Mechaber says, since there might be in those little pieces left, there might be all together a kazayis, so the mitzvah. Even though nobody would want to eat, who's going to eat the crumbs from the bottom of this flour basket? You're mechuyev to get rid of it, to the point that the Mechaber says you should give it to a guy. Because how are you going to get rid of it? Like, we just saw an argument, you can't clean these things, it's too hard to clean. So you're mechuyev. The Mechaber says you should go ahead and give it to a guy, because you can't get rid of it. Okay, for us, my house, a flour container is a plastic container, it's easy to rinse out. You can get a clean this anything. But for us, it means that if I have a bread machine, okay, so that has...
Even though
we're not from that what?
No, don't say that.
So that was a din in our din, Tuflin Aleph, was that you don't use it on Pesach, even if you clean it. But I'm talking about the Mechaber says that you have to be choshes as a kazayis b'tzura for all the pieces in there. Mm-hmm. And therefore you have to get rid of it, you have to give it to a guy, so that we can get those things clean. That's not our chashash. But if you have a toaster, so all the pieces that are in there are mitzvah to shit. Then mitzvah to shit. If I have a bread machine, and this is what I'm going to say for a moment, you don't think of this. your vacuum cleaner bag. Okay, so in the vacuum cleaner bag is all the crumbs, are all the crumbs that you brought in. Now those crumbs you're not going to get rid of. Each crumb by itself, you would, it's less than a kazayis. But if you put them all into one bag together, now they're mitzaref. So as long as they're edible, which they are, so then now they're mitzaref. So that would be a series of a kli that you're going to get rid of. Okay.
Before
yomtiv. Now the next in addition, there's a second exception, which is that dough, not finished things, dough has a stricter din. That there we say that if you sweep together a bunch of little crumbs of dough, crumbs of bread, they just become a pile of crumbs of bread. If you sweep together crumbs of dough, they will clump together into a bigger piece. So the Gemara says, if you have crumbs of dough, then it starts even in a whole house, not just in one kli. If I have crumbs of dough spread around the house, then it starts. Now, in a regular house, that's not negated. How much dough do you have laying around your house? Nothing. Maybe there's a little piece in your kitchen, so either it's not a kazayis or you get rid of it. But it means is if you have a bakery, okay, so in a bakery where there might be dough any place, so there they have that, there's a syrup of not just of what, things that are in one kli, anything that's in the entire room, okay, all that stuff is considered mitzur to make it that it's, to say you have more than kazayis. Now again, even though it's not something that somebody would want to eat, but there's two ways, you either mechuyev to get rid of it if it's more than kazayis, or if it's something that someone would want to eat. So in a bakery, if they want to clean up the Pesach, I'm not talking about to make Pesach food. They want to get rid of Bal Yiroz. They shouldn't be swept with chametz up in their thing. They have to get rid of the tzir. Not only of a tzir from the kli of a big, a little flour that's in the kli or a bunch of cookies, they have to tzir of dough spread around the whole building. Okay.
And that may be very difficult.
Oh, yes, it is quite difficult. So the people, so many, many bakers just give up. And they say, forget it, and they just sell the whole thing. They just forget it. What can I do? They just give up on the whole thing. Okay. A person who wants to do it correctly, so they have to clean. What can they do? So they'll stop cleaning a couple days before, and no one's buying challah at that point anymore. And they just give up, and they go clean the whole place. Okay. Now, I have to tell you before I continue that everything that I just told you explains to you the dinim in Tufman Beis. It's Tufman Beis, it's halacha. Zayin, Chet, and Yud Alef, okay, that's what I'm always talking about. All of those din that I told you is what I believe is the simple way to read those dinim. It's the way the Mishnah Berurah reads those dinim. It's the way the Rebelski thought those dinim were. And most people who you speak to think that that's what the din says. It's Gemara. It's based on Gemara and din. Rabbi Shaftah has a completely different way of looking at those dinim. I have to tell you. He has an absolutely different way of looking at it. According to him, there's syrup in many, many more cases than what I told you. Okay? He doesn't even call it syrup. He says if a guy owns chametz in his words, he wrote this, in two different continents, in South Africa and Alaska, his potential for it being over on the north. Okay? I'm not talking about history. He has his own way of looking at these dinim. Most people do not read it, including Mr. Brewer, do not read the dinim. Okay. If you go to a house, a person, we're talking about here whether the person's over on Bal Yirot by a tzir for those the chametz that's there. The general rule is that in order for something to be considered chametz of a lover pesach, the rule is if you were over on Bal Yirot midoraisa, then the food is also yiftu pesach. If you were not over on Bal Yirot midoraisa, the food would have been considered mutter and it wouldn't have been Bal Yirot. Then you're not over. Then the food is not considered chametz of a lover pesach. Okay, that's the general rule of how you decide whether it is or is not. Okay, so now back to our case. I had a container of Tums, and they were chametz thick, or an antacid that was chewable, it was edible, and had in the entire container there was a kazayis worth of chametz, and I searched over on Bal Yirot. We have a tzir from the kli, it's considered to be all one thing together. I was over on Bal Yirot, that chametz would be also a potential. What happens if I have less than that? I don't have a tzir from the kli. Okay, I have one tum, one antacid sitting in that jar. Okay, or before Pesach, I'm smart, and I open it, take it out of the container. Once it's out of the container, there's no syrup anymore. So now I have 50 tums sitting on the table over there. Okay, so now, and I left that over Pesach. So would the person be over on Bal Yirot with the Raisa to keep that? So the Mishnah Berurah says, he says no. He says, you weren't over on Bal Yirot with the Raisa. He says, the since he didn't have a kazayis, so there was no Bal Yirot. So now, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. It's not also with the Raisa to have kept that. And therefore, it's not considered chametz of a pesach. So, or in our case, in the bowl, if the bowl didn't have a kazayis, I'm going to skip the bowl for a minute. So the question on this is, what's hard to understand on this is that what was the reason for why we said if the person has less than a kazayis of chametz, he's allowed to keep it. If he has less than a kazayis of chametz, it's just usually you have to do beer and bittul on your chametz. Here we're letting you get away with bittul. We're saying you don't have to do beer and bittul, you can do just bittul. Okay? But that rule only applies when the thing is, we said, is inherently inedible, and not inedible, it's not desirable. Okay? It's something rolled up under your bed, no one's going to want to eat it, so then that thing is inherently nobody wants to eat this thing, so then Chazal let you get off the hook, you don't have to do bittul and beer. But these things, these are food items. The case of the Mishnah we're talking about is much more than a medicine. It's about a real food. So the thing, it's a food item. So the guy who got this thing in front of him, it's not inherently possible. It's something that someone would eat. So I don't understand. So I don't know why he says you're not muhud. Okay, let's leave that. Not one exception to the rule. An exception to the rule of, I said to you the rule is, if you're urban bali or midaraisa, then you're muhud. Then the thing is considered chametz of love of Pesach. There's one exception to that rule, that you could be Erev and Ba'yiro only with Rabbanon, and yet there's still the chametz of love of Pesach. And that is, if the chametz was a maimed for the food, so for example, an example of making whiskey. When you make whiskey, you use two times that you use enzymes in making a whiskey, microorganisms, like whiskey. The first is, you use something called an amylase, which breaks
what?
Amylase, which breaks down the starch into sugar. Okay, you take corn. If you want to make whiskey out of corn, you want to make bourbon, so you have to break the corn down into sugars of make from a starch.
A bland
starch of corn into corn syrup. Okay, you make it into a corn syrup. So you use something called amylase. It's kind of enzyme, and that is commonly or traditionally made from barley. Okay, that's how you make that thing. So when you take corn, like sweet corn that you have in your head, like a corn on the cob, and turn that into corn syrup, so that's considered a hamadah. You just turned a solid, bland food into a liquid, sweet food, that's considered a hamadah. So you would just mind it with hummus. So now, if you then continue to make whiskey, that whiskey had a hamadah of hummus. The amount of hummus in there is tiny. It's an amount that would be bottle. So mid-raisa, that would be mutter to eat on Pesach. I mean, mutter to keep it, of course. But since it had a maimed of chametz with midrabanan, it's not batal. The Mishnah Berurah says, even though it's only midrabanan, not batal, it's still chametz of love Pesach. That still makes it chametz of love Pesach. There's another microorganism that you use, which is, now that you have your corn syrup, how does it turn into whiskey? Okay, so you need yeast to ferment it from sugar into alcohol. Okay, so it goes from being corn syrup into being something along the lines of wine, and then eventually to becoming whiskey. So that's also considered a hamadah. Okay, we instead of Rabbi Shachter, that's also considered a hamadah, to change it from corn syrup into whiskey. That's a dramatic change in the food. So again, if the yeast used for that was a brewer's yeast, okay, or use some other kind, or yeast grown on chametz, you did it with chametz. So you again had a hamadah of chametz. So even though the thing is corn, the thing is 100%, you ended up making bourbon, and it's 100% corn. If the hamadah was done, and there are two potential hamadahs here, were done with chametz, then it's usher. It's for sure you're not going to drink it. It has a maimed of chametz. And according to Mishnah Berurah, that's considered usher if the Pesach is chametz of Pesach. Even though it's 100% corn. Okay, the thing is completely corn. Okay, so now. But now, it should depend on what we talked about beforehand. What we said is a shiloh, whether if you have less than a kazayas of chametz, whether you're ever on bal yiron that. Okay? I'm not talking about whether it's a hamadah. I'm talking about it now. How much chametz is in the bottle of bourbon? Okay, the bottle of bourbon has got 10 ounces of are in there. How much chametz is in of that 10 ounces, how much of chametz is in there? Maybe a quarter of an ounce. How much amylase did you put into this thing? A tiny, tiny ounce, a tenth of an ounce. How much is in this thing? So there's less than a kazayis worth of chametz in this container. So now, so we said at the beginning, there's a machlokes now. Some hold that there's a truma sedesh hold. There's absolutely no issue to hold something that has tochas mikazayis of chametz. Okay, that's not accepted. There's many hold that it's asum midrabanan, and most hold that it's asum midrashis. There's chashish asum midatayra on Bali Road. So if you hold that it's only asum midrabanan, because if it's tochas mikazayis, only asum midrabanan to keep it, so then you're right, the person was over on Ba'yirah, but it was only Ba'yirah on the Drabonim. Because of the Hamadah, that would have made it off the Pesach. But in the bottle, there's less than a Kazayas of Chametz. There's less than a Kazayas of Chametz. So then it wouldn't be off the Pesach. Okay? According to most who hold that it is chasish osim min ha-terah, and it's osim min deraisa to own that chametz on Pesach. So then, it would have to be osim as chametz over Pesach, because even though it was only a maimon, which would be osim min deraisa, and even though it's pachas mikazayis, if you hold that chasish osim min ha-terah on Bal Yirah, then this stuff is osim min deraisa, and the person was over Bal Yirah min deraisa to keep this, sort of min deraisa to keep it, excuse me, it will be also as chametz over Pesach. Okay, now, if I could just remind you where I am. We were back in our, pulling back to Tufton now. The Ramah said, they know that, I know that. That's why I'm reminding them. That the Ramah said that there's a minute to not kasher these kind of kelim. These kelim that are used for dough and flour and things like that, that have serious chametz with these little cracks and crevices. The Ramah says that minute is to not kasher, even if you kasher. But he tells you to go look in Tufton Membez, which is what we were talking about, which is that Kenza, you're not allowed to keep it in most of those cases, either, let alone that you should use it for Pesach.